So as scheduled, today we will continue with Valmiki Ramayana. And so far we have been seeing what happened in the Kishkindha Kanda. So we'll continue from where we left off last time. Last time we were talking about how Sugriva was sending the troops, the Vanara troops, in search of Sita in the east and in the southern directions. So today we'll continue to hear more about how Sugriva gave order to the other Vanaras to go in the west, the northern directions, and then we'll see some important events that happened during their search, especially during their search in the south, who they met, what happened, all that we will see before they go to Lanka. So in this class we will not see whether they jump to Lanka or not. That will be the next class. But what happens in their course of time till they reach the southern ocean, the Indian Ocean, we'll see what happened till there. So I'll start with the prayers. Om Ajnana Sanirandasi Jnana Jana Chalakaya Chakshurun Nidita Neena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Girim Yat Krapatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Karinam Namavom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Kleshthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Radhanatha Swami Nitanamne Namavom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Kleshthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitanamne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Kaparini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchaya Deshadarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prayers to Valmiki, Hanuman and Lord Shri Ramachandra. Pujantam Rama Rameti Madhuram Madhurakshanam Aruhya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmike Munisimhasya Kavita Vanacharina Shrinvan Ramakathanatam Konyate Paramgatam Vidavede Parepumse Jate Dasharatatmaje Veda Pracheta Sadase Sakshat Ramayanatmana Anjanandanam Viram Janaki Shokanashanam Kavisha Makshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram Manojavam Maruta Tulyavegam Jitendriyam Bhuttimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarayudamukhyam Shri Rama Dhutam Shirasanamami Anjaneya Madhipatanalanam Kanchanadri Kamaniya Vigraham Parijata Karumulavasanam Bhavyami Bhavamananandanam Yatra Yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam Tatra Tatra Krita Mastakanjalim Bhashpavari Paripurna Lochanam Marutim Namata Rakshasantakam Shri Raghavam Dasharatatmajam Apraneyam Sitapatim Ragukulanaya Ratna Diva Majana Bahum Maravinda Dayala Aksham Ramam Nishachara Vinashakam Namami. So continuing from where Sugriva left off, or rather we left off in the previous class, Sugriva sent troops to the southern and the eastern directions we saw in the previous class. Now we'll see about the troops who went in the west and in the north in search of Sita, and who were the leaders and what happened. So Sugriva, he called out to a particular Vanara called as Susheshna. So this Susheshna was the father of Tara. So we have seen who Tara was. She was the wife of Vali and all that. We have seen her entire story. So the father of Tara was called as Susheshna. And he was one of the Vanara leaders who had come from different directions when Sugriva had summoned them. So when the Susheshna came, Sugriva called out to Susheshna and told him that he would be the leader who would go in search of Sita in the western direction. So he began to describe the various mountains and the rivers and all the forests that are situated in the northwest of India. And also he went beyond India and he has described many regions along the Arabian Sea, almost up to the Persian provinces. So he orders all the monkey troops to go in all these places and come back within 1 month. Everyone was given 1 month's time, right? And all the leaders in the four directions were given exactly 1 month's time. So similarly, even this leader in the western direction was given 1 month's time. So this Susheshna was the father of Tara. He looked like a huge cloud. And along with Susheshna, the other Vanaras who helped Susheshna were mentioned. And these Vanaras were called as the Archismans. So all these Achyusman, they were all brothers, and they were all the son of Marichi. Marichi is one of the foremost sages in our Vedic culture. So Marichi had many sons. He had even Vanara children. So all these Vanara children of Marichi were called as the Achyusmanis. The first son was called as Achyusman, and all his brothers were called as Achyusmanis. And all these Achyusmanis, they were equal to Indra in their bravery and Garuda in their speed, and they were a total of 200,000. So all these brothers assisted the father of Tara, who is known as Susheshna, to go in the western direction. Now, the western provinces that were mentioned by Sugriva, we'll see that it's quite interesting. He mentions the regions of Saurashtra, Surashtra, that is, of course, there in India. Then Bahalka, Chandrachitra, etc. I'm just giving the ancient names. I really don't know the exact names today, but I think Saurashtra seems very familiar in the western region near Gujarat area. So Saurashtra, Bahalka, Chandrachitra, all these cities were extremely opulent, and they had huge forests and rivers, and all these Vanaras were asked to search there. Then they were asked to proceed further into the western ocean, which is the Arabian Sea, which is full of sharks and crocodiles. And then along the shore of the Arabian Ocean, they were asked to check in the cities of Maurichi, Jatapura, Avanti. Again, Avanti is a very common city name. And then that we have heard several times. And then Angalepa, all these regions were being asked to search. Everything along the west of India was being asked to search. And then they were asked to proceed to the junction of River Sindhu with the ocean, that is in the mouth of the Indus River. This is in Pakistan today. So they were asked to go there. And Sugriva said there is a huge mountain there where this River Sindhu joins the ocean somewhere near Pakistan. Sugriva says that there was a huge mountain called as Hemagiri. It is still there, but we don't know the current name of Hemagiri today. So they were asked to go and search in Hemagiri. And Hemagiri is described as being with hundreds and thousands of huge, gigantic trees on all its summits. And then, interestingly, Sugriva mentions in that Hemagiri, you will find hundreds and thousands of huge elephants and also flying lions. So I thought this was another interesting piece of information. Because in ancient Vedic culture, when we read the Shastras and Puranas, we see that these flying lions are mentioned in different places. Not only in the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, also you will find this. So this particular kind of species was present in the mountains in those days. They are also called as mountain flying lions. And one of the names used for such lions is called a Sharadha. So they are supposed to have 8 legs and wings, and they are so huge that they can just devour huge animals in one gulp. So they were so big, and they could even jump one entire valley with their strength. Just one leap, they could cover an entire valley. So these Sharabhas or flying lions are being mentioned, but we don't know if these are still around in our earth, if they are extinct or they are still available. That we don't know. But this Sharabha has been mentioned in several places. So anyway, Sugriva says that this huge mountain, which is called as Hemagiri, which is there somewhere in the near close to the ocean, that where Sindhu joins the Arabian Sea, there you will find huge flying lions. So anyway, on reaching the sea, on reaching the area near the Arabian Sea, Vanaras, you will also see a huge golden peak of that has a lot of water, and that place is called as Mount Pariyatra. And he describes that this peak will be 100 yojanas high, and it will be very, very difficult to see because this peak will be very, very glittering, so it will blind your eyes. So very, very shining mountain called as Pariyatra, you will find that also. Then he continues to say, 24 crores of mighty and atrocious Gandharvas who glow like fire and who can change their guise at their will, they are also living in this mountain of Pariyatra. So based on the description, it appears that this is not really visible to mortal human beings so easily, especially in the age of Kali, but looking at the description of the mountains given here. So anyway, he asks the Vanara to be careful because if those Gandharvas who are living on that particular mountain are offended, or if you end up picking up fruits or tubers in your hunger, they will attack you from all directions. So he talks about Hemagiri, then he talks about Pariyatra. Then he says from there we should proceed on to a mountain called Vajra. And this Vajra, as the name sounds, it will be like a diamond. It will look like a diamond in shape, and there is a lot of diamond there. I mean, it's a very, very shiny, beautiful mountain. And then this particular mountain is more than 100 yojanas high, with several beautiful trees and climbers and all that. So he gives a lot of description about the different mountains near the northwest part of the Arabian Sea, where the Sindhu actually joins the Arabian Sea. So he gives them instructions that they should go on searching in every single direction in all the caves and all the peaks of those mountains. Then, he says very interestingly, from there, you should jump off the ocean. That is, you should jump off the ocean from the land, and you should come to a mountain called as Chakravan, which is present there. And this mountain is at the fourth quarter of the ocean from the land. That means he's asking them to go across the Arabian Sea. That means he's going to the Middle Eastern country. So this is again very interesting. But we still don't know which province this is that is mentioned in Shastra. It just says that in the fourth quarter of that ocean from the land, there is a mountain called Chakravan. And there, Vishwakarma, who is the divine architect, he has constructed a 1,000-spoke wheel on it. And this is the mountain exactly where Hayagriva and Panchajana demons were killed by Vishnu. So this is so nice that this is the place where these demons were killed by Lord Vishnu. So after 64 yojanas, again, you will find a great mountain with golden peaks by the name Varaha. From there, you must move to Mount Meghavantha, and then you will see 60,000 golden mountains, and finally, you will reach Mount Meru. Mount Meru is considered as the central axis of the world, but of course, it is not really visible the way it is described here. It is not probably visible to us in today's world. But anyhow, he says, Mount Amerasavarni was blessed by the sun god, and the boon given by the sun god was that whatever was present in that mountain, say its trees, climbers, boulders, all of them will eliminate a golden color. So several times we have again heard that Mount Meru is a golden mountain, right? So that is described here by Sugriva. They were asked to go till there. And then now, whoever resides there, it again says on Mount Meru, they'll all have a golden hue, including the Gandharvas and the demigods and the demons who come to sport there. They all have a golden color, because anyone who's on Mount Meru will automatically imbue a golden color. Then from there, you must move on to Mount Ashtadri, where there are 10 gigantic 10-leaf date palm tree that is completely golden and it shines. And till there, only you, Varanas, can go. Beyond that, the western part of this region is not accessible, and you should go up till there, search everywhere for Sita, and come back within 1 month's time. Now, among all the provinces that we described in the western region, we see that some were accessible, and I mean, are still accessible by human beings, and some we really don't know. But the entire western region description was accessible by the Vanaras in those days, and the description was given by Sugriva. Okay. So all these Vanaras were sent in the western direction. Now we'll see what happened after sending Susheshna and the Achyut Malis to the western direction. Sugriva, he called another set of Vanaras to go in the northern directions. And the leader of the troop that went in the northern direction was called as Shatabali. He was the leader. Now Shatabali came in front of Sugriva with hundreds and thousands of monkeys of his kind. And also, the ministers of Shatabali are the sons of Yamaraj. Again, Yamaraj had many Vanara children, and the ministers of Shatabali were the sons of Yama. So all these sons of Yamaraj, along with Shatabali, they all went in the northern direction as instructed by Sugriva. Now, Sugriva gave description about the northern provinces. This is more relatable to us. Some parts we can still see again. So, in the northern provinces, Sugriva mentioned, you should go to the provinces of the Mlechas, Pulindas. You must also go to the regions of Surasena. Surasena is around Mathura area. There, then you must go to the Kuru area, where the Kurus rule, the Madraka, Kamboja, Yavana. So again, all these are very familiar regions. This is all there more towards as you go further north. So all these regions should be scrutinized along with the cities of the Shaka, the Dharada, and you must search the entire Himalayas. The region of north, the entire Himalayas, he actually includes, it's not just like today's India, it goes further into Nepal, Tibet and other areas. So he asked them to go everywhere in the north. Then he says you go to Mount Kala, Mount Soma and Mount Sudarshana. On crossing Mount Devashaka, there is a vacant land that spans 100 yojanas all around, which doesn't have any mountains, rivers or trees. But you have to traverse through all this wasteland and finally you will reach Mount Kailash. So Mount Kailash, we are all familiar. So he was asked to go to Mount Kailash and then he described some important details about Mount Kailash. He says that there is a huge mansion of Kubera, which will shine like a silver cloud and it is processed with gold. And Vishwakarma, who is the architect of the Devas, has actually constructed it. And there is a huge lake there, which has many lotuses, which is crowded with swans. And throngs of apsaras come to sport there. And Kubera, who is also the son of sage Vishravana, he is also the half-brother of Ravana, right, Kubera. So they both have the same father, actually. So Kubera, he is also the king of the Yakshas. His place is there. So remember, Vanaras, it is very, very important for all of you to especially search that region because he's the half-brother of Kubera. Okay? So there is a good chance that this place could have been utilized by Ravana because Ravana, after all, took the Vimana of Kubera, which is called as the Pushpaka Vimana, right? He seized that Vimana. So there is a good chance that Ravana could be utilizing this place also. So it is very important for you, Vanaras, to search this place. Now, again, today when we go with our naked eyes, obviously we don't see the spiritual regions of Kailasha, nor do we see the abode of Kubera, but all this is supposed to be existing there. When we have the transcendental eyes, probably we can see all of it. So like that, many regions we see, it's very interesting to see, be it either the Bhagavatam or the Ramayana, we see such places being mentioned, but probably it's not accessible to us. But still, such regions exist in different realms. So this is described in here. Okay. Then thereafter, Sugriva continues that you have to reach Mount Krauncha and you will go into an impassable tunnel in that mountain. There is a huge tunnel that goes across several miles and the entire tunnel you should search for Sita. Generally, they say that that tunnel is very difficult to enter. And many, many sages reside there even to this day on the request of demigods. And all these sages are very similar to the sun in their resplendence. So you should search in that entire tunnel looking for Ravana. Then moving on from there, from Mount Krauncha, you should go to Mount Mainaka. There, there is a big mansion of the demon called as Maya, which was built by Maya himself. And that Mount Mainaka has to be searched completely because, again, it's an abode of Maya, who is a demon. And there's a good chance that Ravana could be utilizing that place also. You should go and search all the peaks and caves. Then you will go further and you will go and find the dwellings of horse-faced females called as Ashwamukhi Kimpurushas. So basically, these kind of Kimpurushas, the Ashwamukhis, they have the face of a horse and the body like a human being. So they're called as Kimpurushas. You have to go to their regions. Now again, this region is not accessible to us. But Sugriva asks the Vanaras to proceed further to the region of the Kimpurusha, Ashwamukhi Kimpurushas. And then also, he asked them to search for Sita. Then he says, you have to go to a lake that belongs to the Vaikhanasa sages, which have golden lotuses and beautiful swans. There, Kubera's elephant, called a Sarvabhauma, always visits this place along with all his female elephants. Then from that lake, you'll just see the sky that is devoid of moon, sun, or stars, and it will be completely cloudless and noiseless. And that place will be luminescent by the sages who are resting there. You will not see the sun or the moon in that region, but you will see beautiful sages there. And because of the bodily effulgence from those sages, that whole place will be shining. Then you have to cross the province and you have to go to a river called a Shailoda. And on the banks of the Shiloda River, there will be bamboo trees, kichakas. So these bamboos will enable the movement of the Siddha Purushas who are living there to go from one bank to the other. From there, if you proceed further, you will go to Uttarakuru or North Kuru, that is the dwelling place of people who have achieved very high pious merits in their previous births. And you have to search that place. That place is very, very beautiful. It has a completely golden hue with a lot of beautiful lakes that is filled with lotuses. And these lotuses will be the color of, will have a bluish color of that of lapis lazuli. So these people who are dwelling here are very, very pious people. Because of previous birth's merits, they are living in this place. And you'll see thousands of rivers which are filled with plant and water, plants in water, that is beautiful lotus plants. And then you have to search in all these places. The rivers flowing here will carry beautiful gems in their shore, like pearls and other valuable gems you will find in the shores of these rivers. And all the females of this Uttarakuru province will be extremely beautiful, very, very youthful. And they look like 16-year-old women. They look extremely beautiful. And not only that, you will also find the Gandharvas, Kinnaras, Siddhas, and the Vidyadharas coming there very frequently in this province to just enjoy. So from there, from the Uttarakuru province, you move on and you go to the vast northern ocean. And in the middle of this northern ocean, there's a huge mountain called as Mount Soma. And the Soma will be irradiating a glow. It looks just like the sun. And on this Mount Soma, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma often visit this place. So there is no need for you to go to Mount Soma. Because many people, many other heavenly beings will be coming to this place. You just go up to the beginning of Mount Soma because it is impassable for you to go beyond that. And you go and check for Sita in all possible directions and come back in 1 month. So we saw the west and the north. Again, these regions are more just like, it's just a meditative thing. We don't have to remember these regions. But I thought it would be nice to talk about it because it is mentioned in Shastra, it's mentioned in Valmiki Ramayana. Just like our fifth canto may not be like so interesting like geography, but still it is very nice to read about these places, and it gives us some kind of a meditative feeling when we hear about these places. So that's the reason I went through this entire section of describing the places in the north, west, south and east. Now, after Sugriva gave instructions to all these Vanaras, what happened was, specifically, Sugriva turned around and he looked at Hanuman for a second. And he spoke a very famous verse. I'll read that verse. It goes like this. Visheshena tu Sugrivo Hanumati yatta muktavan sahitasmin hari sreshte nishchitarto artha sadhane. Sugriva quickly turned towards Hanuman and he began to talk to Hanuman about the topic of searching Sita. Only with Hanuman. After he gave instructions to everyone, specifically he looked at Hanuman because he had a feeling that Hanuman is the most capable among all these Vanaras. So he looked at Hanuman and he told him, Hanuman, you are actually the best among all the monkeys and you are surely known to achieve the purpose. Like if there is a task given to Hanuman, it is sure to be completed. So Sugriva knew this as being the leader of the Vanaras, Sugriva knew the capability of each and every Vanara. And specifically, he knew how special Hanuman was. So he looked towards Hanuman and he told the sentence to Hanuman, O best of monkeys, Hanuman, I do not see any impediment in your movement on land, on sky or in waters. You're capable of going everywhere. You can never be obstructed. All the worlds that contain the demons, Gandharvas, Nagas, humans, gods, oceans, mountains, everything is actually known to you. You know everything. You're capable of going everywhere. You have unusual mobility because you're the son of Vayu. You're the son of the air god. You're extremely capable. You're unstoppable. And also you're very similar to your father. So I know you alone can go anywhere and everywhere. It is extremely easy for you. So therefore, Hanuman, you please, especially I'm telling you, think about a proper process of somehow or the other spotting Sita and finding her. He gives the special instruction looking at Hanuman after giving instructions to all the Vanaras. Now look, Sugriva being the king, he knows exactly. He knows he is going to engage everybody in specific tasks, but he knows there is something special about this particular Vanara, and he gives him a special instruction. Then Sugriva is talking like this to Hanuman. Rama sees this, who's standing next to Sugriva. He notices this. And Lord Ramachandra, of course, he's the knower of everything. He's the super soul in everyone's heart. When he sees the confidence of Sugriva that he has, especially on Hanuman, at that time, Rama thinks, it says in the Valmiki Ramayana, he thinks, this Sugriva is well aware of each individual's accomplishments and capacities, and he specifically chooses Hanuman. So Hanuman is known very well to accomplish any task that is assigned to him. So if any task is taken up by Hanuman, the result is for sure. So like this, when Sugriva saw the confidence that, when Lord Ramachandra saw the confidence that Sugriva has in Hanuman, immediately Lord Ramachandra took out his ring that he was wearing in his finger that had his name embedded on it. He took that and he gave that particular ring to Hanuman, and he tells Hanuman to go find Sita, and he says, when you find Sita, give her this ring. So this is the point when actually Lord Ramachandra gives the ring specifically to Hanuman. It is very interesting how Hanuman was, among all these Vanaras, Hanuman was chosen. And right here itself, when Ram sees this confidence that Sugriva has in Hanuman, somehow even Ramachandra, because he's the super soul, he knows everything, but still he had that confidence that this person is actually going to find Sita. So he takes out that ring that he was wearing that has his name embedded on it, and he gives it to Hanuman and tells him, actually, when you find Sita, give this. I'll tell her, this is a proof that you are actually my messenger. So this will convince Sita that you are my messenger. So you keep this ring with you. So when Hanuman received this ring, Hanuman was very, very satisfied. He took the ring and he kept it on his head, and he bowed down in front of Lord Ramachandra with a lot of respect. And then all the monkeys started taking off. Everyone started moving in different directions. So when Hanuman flew off, when he jumped off, at that time Lord Ramachandra was extremely happy, and he wished Hanuman especially good luck to find Sita. And he tells him, I completely rely on your capability. I know you're the best of the monkeys, and I'm for sure, I have a feeling that you are the one who will actually access Sita. So like this, Lord Ramachandra flies to screams to Hanuman, who takes off. Meanwhile, all the other Vanaras also, they get ready to move off in their assigned directions, and everyone shouting huge war cries. You can imagine hundreds and thousands and millions of monkeys shouting together. They all went off in different directions. So after this was over, after all the monkeys dispersed, then Lord Ramachandra, he has created this entire world. Lord Ramachandra is the master of this universe. He's the Supreme Lord. But interestingly, with a lot of surprise, he asks Sugriva, how is it that you are so well-versed in so much geography of the entire Bhumandala? You're able to describe every little thing. How is it that you're so well-versed in everything? So that Sugriva said, actually, when Vali had a fight, when Vali was angry with me because I closed off that cave, right? When Vali was stuck in that cave. We have already discussed that story of the enmity between Vali and Sugriva. So Sugriva says, actually, when Vali was angry with me, after he came out of the cave and he saw me that I was, in the Kishkindha kingdom, he got very, very angry with me. And we had a big fight, and he began chasing me in all the directions. And even though I was running away from him, somehow or other, he wished to kill me. And I ran so rapidly that I fled in all directions. I went in all directions, covering all the rivers, forests, and the cities. I ran in the eastern direction, and then I went to the southern direction, and then I went to the western direction, I went to the north. So like this, I've covered all the regions just in fear of Vali. Vali has chased me in every damn nook and corner. And then finally I came back, to this particular area of Kishkindha, because I went one full circle in all the directions, and then Hanuman stopped me. And Hanuman, who's completely mature in his wisdom, he told me, Sugriva, don't run like this. Don't go to every nook and corner of this world. Do you remember how sage Matanga had cursed Vali? That Vali, if he at all enters this mountain where the sage Matanga's ashram is there, his head will split into 100 pieces. So the best place for you is to live near Matanga's hermitage, and that place will be peaceful and there will be no problem for us. So ever since then, I've been residing in this mountain of Rishyamukha so that Vali will never enter. Vali actually chased me everywhere. He came up to the foothills of this mountain, but still he was very scared to enter because of Matanga Rishi's curse. And so I'm safe here, but I've been living only here because if I get down, that's it, Vali will again chase me. So like the Sugriva explains how he got to know, have so much geographical knowledge. Now Ramchandra was thinking, oh, I never knew anyone could have so much knowledge of my creation. But interestingly, Sugriva explains how he got the knowledge of all these places. Then, so now we saw how all the Vanaras had gone. About a month was passing. Time really flew fast. So it was almost a month over now. And all the troops in different directions were supposed to report to Sugriva. So by the end of 1 month, eventually, the search for Sita failed in the east, north, and western directions. Three different directions, all the leaders, they failed. They came back in a month and they reported saying that we couldn't find Sita. Okay, so now what happened in the southern direction? Everyone was worried. What is going to happen in the southern direction? Somehow or the other, they were all thinking, from the beginning, Hanuman seems to be the most capable. And also, they also had a hunch for some reason, because the way Ravana kidnapped Sita, he went in the southern direction, right? We saw that in the previous classes. So everyone felt the southern direction wouldn't fail. Even if we go in other directions, there's a possible of failure. But the Vanaras who have gone in the southern direction shouldn't fail. So everyone was thinking like that, and they were all worried, and they were waiting to hear about what Hanuman had to say, when Hanuman would come back and what he had to say. Now we'll see what was happening with the troops in the southern direction. The search had started. So, see, basically in the Valmiki Ramayana, I know this is mentioned that the 1 month period was over, everyone came back, but then Valmiki slowly he describes what had happened during the search in the southern direction. So, we will go through that entire month, what all they did. Okay? Now, the search after Hanuman left Sugriva and he took the ring and he went away with all the other Vanaras, headed by Angada. All of them, they went in the southern direction. When they went in the southern direction, they went through different mountains and forests that were belonging to the Vindhya Mountains. Now, they went through the Vindhya Mountains. They covered the entire southern direction, but they couldn't find Sita anywhere. They went to every nook and corner, like every uninhabited forests and places. And even in the Vindhya region, Angada even ends up killing a demon, thinking him to be Ravana. But actually, that person was not Ravana. So like there's so much effort they put, and they went to every single nook and corner, but all the monkeys failed in finding Sita. So like this, when they were all sitting and thinking what to do, Angada, he begins to encourage all the monkeys. He points out all the monkeys, see, we have gone through all the Vindhya Mountains, we have gone through all the southern regions of of India. But still, remember, the wrath of Sugriva Sugriva is not very easy to manage. If Sugriva knows that we have come back failed, we are really going to have a tough time facing Sugriva. So he'll be extremely angry because we failed to implement his order. So we have to go and search again, Angada says, because Angada is the leader of the southern troop. So Angada specifically says this is not enough. We have searched, yes, we have searched every nook and corner, but there still could be some places that we have missed where we must go again. And by this time, all the monkeys, they were extremely fatigued because they had gone through so much search and they couldn't even find water properly in many places. So they were very, very thirsty and they were very, very fatigued. But they were very enthusiastic now again because of Angada's advice, and Angada encouraged all of them to search the Vindhyas again from beginning. So they went search to the same regions they went to cover again, especially the Vindhya mountains. So all the southern bound Vanaras, who were Gaja, Gavaksha, Gavaya, Sharadha, Gandamandana, Mainda, Dvivida, Hanuman, Jambavan, and Angada, and Lieutenant Tara. Now, this is male Tara. This is not the female Tara. There was also the Lieutenant Tara who was there in the southern troop. He was a man, a male Vanara, you can say. So all these Vanaras, they again began searching the southern provinces with wide open eyes. And finally, the Vanaras, they came to a region in the Vindhya mountains that they saw a huge cave, they saw a huge cavity. So by now, again, the Vanaras, they were all very thirsty. In many places, they couldn't find water. Okay, so they were extremely thirsty. And these Vanaras, they, in the Vindhya mountains, during their second search, they came across a huge impassable cavity, now, or a cave. And this is called as the Riksha Cave. Okay, they came across this cave. And this Riksha Cave was very, very special, and it was guarded by the demon Maya. So they came to this place. Now, with all the thirst and hunger and their fatigue and in their search of water, all the Vanaras gathered here, and they saw this particular cave that was very unique. They saw that huge birds, like Kauncha birds and Sarasa, Chakravaha birds, water birds basically, or the waterfowls, they were all come out of this cavity, and their bodies were completely drenched in water. And in their wings, you know, their little feathers, they had this lotus pollen completely dappled on them. So when these Vanaras saw this huge cavity, for some reason, these Vanaras suspected that this could probably be the entrance to Naraka or Patala. So they were thinking, oh, what is this place? It looks so different, and it looks so, you know, there's something to be suspicious about this place. Suddenly we see water birds coming out, and they all look golden. They have pollen on them, and they look wet. What is this? And this cavity looks so impassable. So like this, when they were discussing among themselves that this could probably be the entrance to the netherworld, at that time, Hanuman just, he scrutinizingly inspected that place. And then he told all the Vanaras that I don't think this is any entrance to Patala or something. Actually, it looks like there is some water there inside for us. So I think we should go and explore this place. So since Hanuman made this statement, all of them very confidently, they went in, they tried to enter this cave. Now in this cave, there were a lot of swans that was rushing out and all these water birds, all of this was coming out. And Hanuman said, it's okay, once these water birds, they just move away from this path, we'll enter the cave. So all of them, they slowly began to enter this cave. And this cave, initially, it was pitch dark. They couldn't find any sign of light. It was hair-raising darkness. They couldn't, the sun's rays was not going, even moon's rays wouldn't go in. It was completely pitch dark. It was awful. And it had very thick, dense creepers that was coming out for almost one yojana distance. So all the Vanaras, they held hand in hand, like they formed like a chain, Vanara chain, and they were slowly entering this cave. And then as they passed, Hanuman was giving them confidence that it shouldn't be something scary. We should just go and explore because there is water here. So they continued to move for one yojana, that is about, you know, few miles. And then they saw a bright light once they crossed this one yojana distance. And when a bright light came out, things were visible inside. They could see huge trees, sala trees, tala trees, tamal trees. They saw all these beautiful trees. They saw beautiful flowering plants like punnaga, vanjula, dhava, champaka trees, naga, karnikara, all these beautiful flowering trees and creepers, and everything looked extremely beautiful inside. And they had bunches of flowers, and everything looked golden. The leaves were reddish. The climbers were golden. It appeared like all these trees had golden fruits, and everything was decorated with golden jewelry. It was extremely opulent in this region. After one yojana distance, it was completely lit. And then these trees were also looking golden. The trunks of the trees were looking like golden, and all the leaves looked like they were studded with gems. So, and there were extremely lovely multicolored birds that were circling, that were perching on these trees. And all the lakes present there were filled with golden lotuses with a huge petal similar to the sun. And suddenly they saw huge mansions that was again made of gold and silver. They had different kinds of golden domes, extremely opulent place. The mansions were multi-storied and everything was studded with gems, and there were golden windows, and they could see pearls and other precious jewels being used for decoration on these mansions. And inside those mansions, they could see beautiful huge beds, couches and seats that again were studded with gemstones and gold. They could also see utensils that were made of gold, silver and bell metal. And they saw fragrant substances everywhere, and sandalwood sticks and fresh eatables like tubers and fruits that were completely cleaned and just ready to be eaten. So beautiful, that entire region was, it was like entering the heavenly planet. So they could see everything there. And first class drinks were kept, and they had honey, and finest quality of clothing was present everywhere. They had exotic blankets, and everything was present. Anything you can think of, all that was present in the best and the finest quality. So they were again very confused now, all the Vamanas. What is this? Suddenly this region is pitch dark and suddenly we see so much opulence. What is happening here? And everything is so bright and well lit up. So the Vanaras were looking around, and then they spotted a very, very saintly old lady. She was wearing jute clothes. Though there was so much opulence around, she was wearing just like simple cloth. And she appeared to be very, very fragile. She was on a controlled diet, but she was shining because of the merit that she had obtained. She was like a sage. She was a very, very saintly person. And because of her austerities, she was shining. So Hanuman, when he saw this saintly woman, he took a very humble position because she was the first person he saw. And he saw what a saintly woman in such an opulent place. He was very, very confused. He looked at this woman. He took a humble position, he bowed down, he folded his palms, he fell down at his feet, and he respectfully asked her, "You look like a sage, who are you, and what is this cavity, what is this mansion, so much jewels, so please tell me, who are you?" And he tells, "We are all Vanaras, and we just entered this cavity, this particular cave, because we were tormented with hunger and thirst, and we are completely struck, and we are in awe of this place. We're actually a little scared because we are thinking that this could be the abode of a demon. But we are so fortunate that we spotted you. You look so saintly. This place is so opulent. Not only does it have gold and silver, it also has a lot of fine edibles like tubers and fruits. Everything looks so fresh. So please tell us, who are you? Why is this place so splendorous, and what is all this?" So like this, when Hanuman questioned that saintly lady, she began to speak. She said, "A marvelous demon called as demon Maya." Okay, we all know Maya, who he is. He's the architect of the demons. So like how Vishwakarma is the architect of the demigods, Maya is the architect of the demons. So this lady began to speak. She said, "There's a marvelous demon by the name Maya, and he's got phenomenal expertise in building and all that. He's an architect. So he's got phenomenal expertise. And this entire golden land is actually constructed by him. And he's the architect of the demons. But he, on practicing austerities for thousands and thousands of years in this particular forest, he obtained a boon from Brahma to acquire the entire wealth of sage Shukracharya. That's how he obtained all his wealth. So once he obtained all the wealth, he resided very comfortably in this great forest for a very long time, enjoying all his wealth. Once Indra had a fight with Maya and drove him away with his thunderbolt." So like that's how Maya was driven away from this place when he was engaged with an apsara called as Hema. So Maya was engaged in loving affairs with an apsara called as Hema, and at that time Indra had a fight with Maya and Maya was driven away. This golden palace actually belongs to the apsara called as Hema. It was constructed by Maya, but it was gifted to Hema, who was sporting with Maya. And eventually, because of Indra's thunderbolt, Maya was driven away. So actually, this place belongs to that beautiful apsara called as Hema. And Hema is my friend. My name is Swayamprabha, and I am the daughter of Meru Savarini, and I'm safeguarding this cave for her. This Hema is a very, very beautiful apsara. She's an expert in dance, music, and not only that, she's a very close friend of mine. So I'm safeguarding this mansion for her. Currently, she's not living here. So I'm just a caretaker of this beautiful mansion. So Swayamprabha, who is this saintly woman, she says, "Oh, Vanaraj, you should not be afraid. This is nothing to be worried about. You have come to a good place. So don't worry. Please come. There are so much edibles, fruits and tubers. You all said you're hungry and thirsty. So please quench your hunger and satisfy your, quench your thirst and satisfy your hunger here. And also, tell me about yourself. What is your purpose? Why you all have entered this cave?" So like this, Swayamprabha offers hospitality to all the monkeys. Then, after they quenched their thirst and had some little bit of fruits and tubers, after their hunger was satisfied, Hanuman said, "My dear saintly lady, our master and our king is Sugriva. You must have heard of him. He's the king of the Vanaras. He allotted us 1 month time to find the princess known as Sita, who is the wife of Lord Ramchandra, who is the prince of the Ikshvaku dynasty. This Sita was kidnapped by the demon Ravana. So we are all going in search of this princess Sita. Now, we were given 1 month time. This period has already expired. So 1 month has already gone by now. So Hanuman is saying that this period is already gone, and somehow in desperation, we somehow wanted to search her. So we have been searching very, very intensely, and we spotted this cave, and we thought that if we enter this cave, when we saw water, we thought at least we can quench our thirst and then think about what to do next. So we entered this cave in search of water. Now we are all stuck here. We don't know what to do. How can we exit this cave? Because it looks like once you enter this cave, you cannot go anywhere else. It looks like all stuck. We are all stuck here. We don't know how to exit this cave. Somehow we have to go back. We have to go and report to Sugriva, or we have to do something about the search of Sita. So you please help us. Now we came inside. We found you. We are very thankful to you. But please help us exit this cave. So Hanuman tells us the entire story. He also tells the entire story of Lord Ramachandra and how Sita was kidnapped. And then he tells his condition. And then finally he requests Swayamprabha to help them get out of the cave. He thanks her for all the hospitality that she gives. Then Swayamprabha said, "See, my dear Vanaraj, it is very difficult for anyone to get out of this cave alive. Actually, once you come in, you're in. That's it. It's very difficult for people to go out of this cave alive. But using my mystic power, I can take you out of the cave. Only one condition: all of you must completely shut your eyes. You should not see how the mystic power is employed and how you get out of the cave." So all the Vanaras agree and they shut their eyes. And within a minute, they find themselves being transported out of the cave. Now, so this meeting of Swayamprabha and the monkeys, with the monkeys, was actually a great blessing for the monkeys. It's not just like some little story that just came, you come across in the Ramayana. It has some implied meaning in the sense that because the monkeys entered the cave of Swayamprabha, they could actually come out through the southern exit of the cave. So if Swayamprabha had wanted, she could have sent them anywhere. She could have sent them through the northern, to the north of the cave, or the west of the cave, or the east of the cave. Now, because the Vanaras were particularly exited out of the southern end of the cave, they came to the correct place, okay? So they could further continue their journey. And in this place, they are going to meet more people, and then they are going to jump the Indian Ocean. So all this is like a master plan. So Swayamprabha, understanding their need, she particularly makes them exit through the southern end of the cave. So all the Vanaras, they come out and they open their eyes, and they are very surprised to see that the spring season had started, that 1 month was over actually, and they could see a lot of flowers being bloom everywhere. So they just felt that actually not only 1 month, more time had passed. That's what is written in Valmiki Ramayana. Not only 1 month, but more than a month had passed, and they had concluded that mysteriously so much time had passed within the cave. So much time had passed within the cave. They came out and they saw that the spring was in full bloom. Then Angada, he got very, very upset, and he suggested actually we should sit down and fast until death, because we have not found Sita. If we go back, Sugriva is sure to kill us, because everyone had hopes only on us. Everyone felt somehow in the southern direction there will be victory. that now if we go back and say we didn't find Sita and that way we have crossed the period of 1 month, that's it. We'll all be killed. So let's all fast unto death. I cannot face Sugriva, Angada says. So like this, all the monkeys who were with Angada, they all decided that actually there's no question, there's no point returning to Kishkindha without receiving any information about Sita. You know, so we have to actually fast unto death and we should die. We cannot go and face Sugriva again. Time has gone by. So at that time, this Lieutenant Tara, Tara is a male, I was telling you, right? Not the wife Tara, the other Tara. But the other Tara said, he gave an idea. He said, let's all go back inside this cave. And we could live there without any fear of being discovered because nobody will enter the cave. Nobody will know about this cave. Let's go and live there eternally. Then Angada, he didn't like that idea. He was just remaining silent because he was so dejected. And then he was like, oh yeah, if we have no other option, then maybe that's what we should do, he was thinking. Angada, he consulted with everyone and he thought, okay, fine. If this is what we have to do, let's do it. At that time, our great minister, Hanuman, said, he began to speak. He said, my dear Prince Angada, I considered you to be very great. You're a great prince. You're endowed with different attributes of intelligence. There are 8 attributes of intelligence. What are those 8 attributes? Possessing an inclination to hear what others have to say, having enough mental control to actually hear what others are saying, be able to comprehend the basic meaning of what is being said, good memory, capacity to reason in favor of a proposition, capacity to reason against a proposition, deep insight into the meaning of what others have said, and true wisdom. Not only that, Angada, you're also adept in employing 4 kinds of political expertise: persuasion or conciliation, gift or gratification, sowing seeds of dissension within an enemy's rank, and using violence and force if necessary. So you have all these qualities. You're a good listener. You can understand what is good for you, what is bad for you. You can come to the correct decision. You can take good actions. You have a political expertise. And beyond all this, you're endowed with 14 excellent qualities that characterize great personalities. They are a sense of time and place, firmness, ability to endure all kinds of hardships, knowledge of all subjects, expertise, vigor, ability to guard one's secrets, consistency, heroism, ability to judge one's own strength in comparison to an enemy, appreciation of the services rendered by others, compassion for surrendered souls, indignation and the presence of unrighteousness, and steadfastness in duty. You have all these qualities. So Hanuman said, you don't decide like this. You are not the one who should say, we will fast or we'll enter the cave and sit there for eternity. No. And you should not listen to such kind of advices and take such decisions. You're a great prince. You have such great quality. He told Angada, if you carry out this foolish plan to live within this cave, you will meet with disaster. And all the monkeys, we are not sure whether they will remain faithful to your order under such conditions. Some monkeys may go back and report to Sugriva. Then what will you do? Eventually, Lakshmana will find out where you are and Lakshmana can enter any place. Don't think Lakshmana cannot enter this cave. He will come and destroy this cave and he'll destroy all the monkeys. However, if you otherwise return to Kishkindha and go and surrender to Sugriva, Sugriva will forgive you. Because you're the only child, you're the only son, you're the crown prince, he will even install you on throne. So don't do this stupid thing. Don't enter the cave or don't try to suicide. Please go back and surrender to Sugriva. So as a good minister, Hanuman gives this sound advice. But anyhow, Angada wasn't convinced and he argued saying that you're overestimating Sugriva. You've forgotten about Sugriva's past and what all he has done, how he can punish others. So I'm not going to go. I cannot see Sugriva. Maybe you all can go home, but I will remain here and I will fast unto death. So like this, Angada began to cry. He was weeping and weeping. And he sat down on the Kusha grass, surrounded by all other monkeys. And they were all determined to give up their lives. Everyone thought suicide is the only way. So everyone was deciding to give up their lives because Angada said, I cannot face Sugriva under any circumstance. I can do anything, but I cannot see his face. So everyone was sitting like that. And they were ready to die by fasting. Okay, so at this particular time, a particular eagle by the name Sampati came out of his cave and he sat on this mountain where he saw all these vanaras sitting there dejected. And he heard the vanaras talk to each other saying that they wanted to fast until death. So this Sampati eagle, he became very, very happy. He thought, aha, by the grace of the Lord, today I've got so much food to eat after a very long time. I've been waiting for food for a long time. And today these monkeys, one by one, they're all going to die. They're going to fast until death. So as they die, I'm going to eat up all these monkeys. I have a big feast. So the Sampati was extremely happy looking at all these monkeys. So he made this loud comment. Actually, Sampati says, by destiny, I have a great feast today. He makes this comment and Angada hears this comment. And Angada becomes even more dejected and agitated on hearing this. He tells Hanuman, oh Hanuman, look at our misfortune. Look at our condition. Look at what we have to face now. Hanuman, look at our condition. We have failed the order of Sugriva. We couldn't even help Lord Ramachandra. It was such a great service to us. We couldn't help Ramachandra. Look at what Jatayu had done. Jatayu was an animal, right? A bird, right? And we are also animals. But we couldn't do what Jatayu did. Jatayu at least did some service in Lord Ramachandra's favor to find Sita. He's so fortunate. He did his best to protect Vaidehi. We are also animals. We tried our best in searching, but we couldn't do anything. We didn't even get a clue of where Sita is. Jatayu is more fortunate, and he was even liberated by giving up his life in front of the Lord. So all the problem is because of this Kaikeyi, all because of her. Because of the boons that she has, Ram had to come to the forest, and Sita was kidnapped by Ravana, and all our Vanara troops had to go, and now all our Vanaras are going to die. Everything happened just because of this Kaikeyi. So like this, he feels more and more and more dejected, and he begins to complain to Hanuman. And now after all this, this eagle, this huge eagle is waiting to eat all of us. What kind of life is this? So like that, Angada goes on pouring out his heart to Hanuman. So when Angada was talking like this, this eagle called a Sampati, he heard about Jatayu. He heard the word Jatayu. And Jatayu happened to be the brother of Sampati. So like this, this is the first time Sampati had heard about Jatayu after a long time, and he heard that Jatayu had died. So when Sampati heard this, he screamed out. He said, oh, did you say Jatayu? Did you use the word Jatayu? Jatayu is actually my younger brother. Did you say that he's dead? Tell me what happened to my younger brother. I'm happy that you're glorifying Jatayu, but at the same time, I'm so upset and anguished that he's dead. And did you say that Dasharatha is also dead? Because the Vanaras also say that Kaikeyi took a boon. They tell the entire story of the Ramayana actually sitting there. So they also mentioned that Dasharatha is dead. So the Sampati is very shocked. He said, you said Jatayu is dead. You're also saying Dasharatha is dead. Dasharatha was a very good friend of my brother Jatayu. Both of them are dead. So tell me what happened to them. Please tell me. He's my brother. And I have a favor from you. Please take me out from this place. I mean, like, take me close to you. He was sitting on a particular rock, so I'm not able to jump down. Can you please take me close to you? My wings are all burnt, so I cannot fly. So kindly help me come down, and I'm very, very old. So help me get off this peak and come close to you, this Sampati says. So when Sampati said all this, these monkeys, they couldn't put much faith into what Sampati was saying. Because just a moment before, Sampati was thinking about eating up all these monkeys. And now he's telling all kinds of things, Jatayu is my brother and help me get off this peak. So those monkeys were thinking, if we help Sampati come off, then Sampati is going to eat us. Why should we help him come down? But then they discussed among themselves and they thought, anyhow, we are planning to die, right? Anyhow, we are going to fast and die. So if this gigantic vulture is going to eat us, it means that our suffering is going to end quickly. So instead, let's help this eagle or this vulture. So all these monkeys, they went and they helped Sampati come down from the mountaintop. And then Sampati requested them to tell the entire story and what exactly happened to Jatayu. And Angada related the entire story of Jatayu's heroic death. Then Sampati, he started to tell his own story after he heard about the death of Jatayu. He was extremely upset and he was crying, and he told about his own story as to how his Jatayu is actually his brother and what had happened to him, why his wings got burnt away. So Sampati tells a story that long, long ago, after Indra had killed Vritrasura, this was so long ago when Indra killed Vritrasura, Jatayu and myself, we both are brothers, we wanted to test each other's prowess. Because we wanted to see how much we could fly, and we decided to go soaring high into the sky. As we flew up, we approached the sun. And when we were near the sun, Jatayu almost fainted because of the heat. And in order to save him, I covered him with my wings. And as a result, my wings got burnt by the sun, and I fell off onto the Vindhya Mountains. So once I fell off, I couldn't see where I was. I couldn't even fly and go and find my brother. I don't know what happened to my brother, where he went, I don't know. But my wings were burnt and I just crashed into this mountain. So ever since then, I'm unable to fly and I'm stuck in this Vindhya Mountains. So then when he was talking like this, Angada interrupted him and said, if you're actually Jatayu's elder brother, then you must be our well-wisher, because Jatayu is our friend. Okay, he's the friend of Ram, he's also our friend. That means if you're the brother of Jatayu, you're also our well-wisher. So can you tell us where Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, lived? Can you tell us? You might be having a lot of knowledge since you've been living for so many years. So can you help us find where this particular demon is, because he's kidnapped Sita? So at that time, Sampati said, because I'm very, very old and my wings are burnt, I'm not able to physically serve Lord Ram. But however, you've given me an opportunity to serve Lord Ramachandra with the power of my speech. So I will help you, Sampati says. Then Sampati says, I see very, very far away. I can see up to the Atala, Vitala, Sutala and all the subterranean hellish planets. And I can also see the upper planets. I can see even up to the milk ocean. I have a very good eyesight. At the same time, I've also heard that a young lady who looked like a princess was carried away by the demon Ravana, and she was crying out, Rama, Rama, and she dropped off some of her garments on the ground. That demon who carried away the beautiful princess is the son of Vishwas and the brother of Kubera, and he presides over the city named as Lanka, and he's known as Ravana. His kingdom is the golden and most beautiful Lanka. It is on an island. It is 100 yojanas from here. Because I am the descendant of Vinata, he's the, we know the story of Vinata and Kadru and all that, about these children. So because I'm a descendant of Vinata, my vision can extend more than 100 yojanas, and let me see now, I will find Sita. So he looks and he sees beyond 100 yojanas, and he says, yes, Sita is sitting there, and she's in the city of Lanka, and this Lanka is fully golden. It has multi-storied buildings, but it is completely protected. But I am sure, I can foresee into the future that you monkeys will be able to find Sita in this particular Lanka that is guarded by Rakshasa women. She's continuously guarded by Rakshasa women, but still, I'm sure that you will find Sita in this place, and you will come back with Sita. Rama will come back with Sita. So I can see this, and this is where exactly Sita is living. So he gives the details to all these Vanaras. So then he requests the Vanaras, please take me to the ocean so that I can offer oblations to my brother's departed soul. The monkeys were so happy to receive this news about the Sita, and they gave up their idea of fasting unto death. They took Sampati to the ocean, and Sampati offered his final oblations to his brother. And then Jambavan, he asked, how did you know, he asked Sampati, how do you know so much details about how Sita was kidnapped by Ravana? Did you see it or did you hear about it? How did you know about Sita being kidnapped? Then Sampati said, after my wings had been burnt, I fell down into the Vindhyas, and after 6 days, I regained my vision and senses. At that time, my son Suparshwa, he came to know that I was here, and he came here and he began to take care of me, and he used to bring food for me. So once when I was very hungry, Suparshwa came out, he came home without any food. So I got angry with him and I chastised him severely. At that time he said, when he was searching for flesh, he happened to see a huge Rakshasa carrying away a young woman through the sky. And I wanted to actually bring both of them for you as food, but that Rakshasa, in a very friendly manner, he requested me to let him pass. So I couldn't refuse because he requested me so nicely. After that, after he took away that woman and went away, the great sages and Siddhas, they informed me about Ravana's identity, that he's a Rakshasa and he's kidnapping Sita. So he comes and tells, actually, I'm very fortunate because that Ravana, that he didn't kill me and I let him pass. So at that time, I was very angry with what my son said, because I thought my son could have, you know, stopped him from taking away that beautiful princess. But still, my son, fearing for his life, he was very happy that that Rakshasa let him. And he just came back and reported all this to me. So, and also, Sampati continued to narrate his story, that after he fell onto the Mindya Mountains, he remained unconscious for 6 days. And after I regained consciousness, I saw that the rishi who's living here in the Mindya Mountains, called as Nishakara, was living nearby. And I went and asked him, how that, you know, I told him my story about how my wings had got burnt, and I explained to him that how I tried to protect my brother and I fell down here. At that time, I asked that rishi to help me regain my wings, and the rishi told me that my wings will regrow when I tell about the story of Sita. That is, when I tell when a few vanaras come and meet me. And I tell about the abduction of Sita, where Sita was carried off, that time my wings will regrow. So like the Sampati tells about the boon that he had received from this particular sage called as Nishakara. And it has been more than thousands of years since this rishi has given up his body and he's gone to heaven. And I've still been waiting to meet all of you and tell you about the place where Sita is being taken. So like this, when he finishes telling his story, on Sampati's body, a fresh pair of wings grow, new wings grow, and he's so happy that his wings are got back by the blessings of that sage Nishakara, after he tells about what happened to Sita to the Vanaras. So he's completely filled with new hope, and before he flies away, he tells all the Vanaras, they are sure to find Sita if they go in this particular direction towards Lanka. So he tells them that they should cross this ocean and go to Lanka, and definitely they will find Sita, and he flies away. So with this, we will stop today. So this is the story of Sampati, how Sampati and was actually the brother of Jatayu, and what was his role in the Ramayana. So we saw the role of Swayamprabha, we saw the role of Sampati. Sampati specifically pointed out where Sita was living. Swayamprabha took them to this particular southern side so that they could meet Sampati. So with this, we'll stop here and we will see what happened, who crossed the ocean. Of course, we all know it is Hanuman. So from our next session, our hero will be Hanuman. So Lord Ramachandra will be our second hero, and we will see the glories of Hanuman from our next session. I'd like to stop here. If anyone has any questions or comments, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hi, Bol Preeti Vilasni Mataji. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You have transported us once again into the realms of Ramayana and the story of Hanuman and Ram. Thank you so much. I got goosebumps the whole time you were speaking. It was fantastic. Couple comments, couple observations, yes. Realizations. Number one, I was thinking, Hanuman, just his way of addressing, you know, depending upon situation, knowing how to speak to different people, the way he was speaking to the sage woman in the cave, Maya's cave. Now, is this Maya Dhanava the same one that built the palace for, yeah, Kurusava, okay, for the Pandavas, it is, okay.
Yeah.
That was one question. But I'm just amazed, you know, the situation where he met Rama, his discussion with Rama, and then again here with the sage woman, and then again with Angada. Perfect. I mean, I think this is a lesson for everybody to understand that how to speak and how to address people, assess a situation, assess a personality, assess something, and then speak. So I was just, you know, you always hear about Hanuman's great courage and his, you know, all he's able to cross the ocean and stuff. But there's so much depth to Hanuman than just his, you know, courage. You know, so I was just that, which is that gave me goosebumps just thinking about it. My appreciation and my veneration and respect for Hanuman was just growing leaps and bounds as you were speaking about him. I'm just getting so emotional just thinking about this. You know, the other thought I was having was that also I was thinking. I think this is. I don't know if this is the third or fourth time, but. You know, every time they meet somebody, the situation happens. We hear the whole Ramayana being said again. So, you know, it's interesting that he tells Rama the story of Rama and Jatayu's brother. I forgot what his name. You just told me.
Sampati.
That, you know, so everybody is. It's interesting how, you know, the Rama's story is being repeated again and again and again throughout the Ramayana. I think that is also a lesson for us. I mean, obviously, we're listening to it for how many, you know, but this must be the, I don't know, at least the 10th, if not, you know, more times that we've heard the Ramayana. We've heard so many stories of the Ramayana. But, you know, you never get satiated. I mean, I know the story. I mean, I've heard these stories, but it's just, you know, and you are a fantastic storyteller, Mata. You, thank you so much. I have one story that I remember, and I'm trying to remember if my mother-in-law said this or my husband told me this or something, but the story where Sugriva is running around all over the universe, you know, trying to escape from Vali. So Hanuman is also with him at the time, and he's following him as he's running all over the place. And then finally Hanuman tells him at the end, finally Sugriva turns to him and says, I don't know what to do. And then so Hanuman tells him, well, this is where you should go. And because remember the sage that you don't have, that Vali can't come there. And Sugriva said, well, why didn't you tell me before I started running around the world, you know? And Hanuman said, you know, you shouldn't give advice to somebody who's not ready to listen. Only when you were ready to listen. So I think my husband was telling me this story when we were speaking about something about the kids. And he was telling us, well, you know what, let me tell you this story, and this is what will guide us on whether we should say anything or not to the children. So this was the story he gave us. So even in that situation, Hanuman judged the situation. He knew Sugriva was so, you know, impassioned about escaping that he was not open to hearing anything. So anyway, that just reminded me of that story. And like I said, so many of these things can be applied to our lives and in many situations. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Hare Krishna. All glory to you.
Such beautiful realizations. It's so nice when you speak. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for the fantastic realization. Very, very true. Very, very nice. Thank you. Our appreciation of Hanuman should grow as we hear about this. Thank you so much, Mataji. And also, I think I made a mistake. I said Kuru Sabha, the Indraprastha, the new palace, right, of Yudhishthir Maharaj. That was the one that was built by Maya Danava.
Right.
Anyway, so nice. Thank you, Mataji.
Hari Hari Bol, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Hanuman ji ki jai, Srimati Sitara Devi ki jai. Thank you very much. Such a wonderful class. We feel that Leela that much put us in your class, Leela Suni Gopi. And our grandma is telling all this story. And so deep realization. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Vaishali Mataji. We are so blessed to have you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Bol, Mataji.
I thank you so much for being such a wonderful storyteller of the Ramayana.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
You know, one thing that struck me in the story, I feel a little bit, I don't know. Anyway, let me just say that when, was it Angra who was fearing Sugriva's retribution for not making any progress? And he was, you know, he was afraid of Sugriva killing him. And I was just so surprised by that because, you know, he had certainly tried his very best. And so it just, his fear that Angra would, I mean, that Sugriva would kill him
mm-hmm.
made me, you know, it just made Sugriva look like such a mean personality.
Yeah, just to add to that, it's interesting because he was the son of Vali, right, Angra? So he always felt that Sugriva wasn't really, like, he was not really comfortable with Sugriva at any time. And also he always felt that his father's kingdom was taken by Sugriva. Though his father himself, Vali himself, told Angada to treat Sugriva like his father and told Sugriva to treat him like his own son, to treat Angada as his own son. And in fact, Tara was also living with him. Still, somehow Angada wasn't like so confident about
mm-hmm.
feeling comfortable with Sugriva till the end. Even during these conversations, Angada makes some statements saying that Sugriva is not all that, friendly. And he makes a lot of comments about Sugriva, interestingly. He's not really comfortable with Sugriva because maybe he just feels he's not my father.
Oh, so he never got that. Yeah,
though he was carrying out the orders of his father's brother, and he was doing everything, but still, for some reason, he didn't have that complete faith.
Yeah, he didn't really completely trust that he was his father's well-wisher.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, when you were telling the story, I forgot that Angra was the son of Vali.
Vali,
I forgot that. You know, my usual request, please.
Yeah,
I can get the recording.
Sure. Yes, definitely. Thank you.
I have another question, comment, maybe.
Yeah.
But see, it seems obviously Angada is not afraid to die. So because he's always going to fast, so he's going to die.
Yeah.
But he's afraid to die by the hand of Sugriva. So I was wondering now, is it because he was afraid to disappoint him? If he dies by fasting and everybody dies by fasting, their belief is that nobody's going to know that this is what happened. They'll just think that back at the kingdom, they'll just think that they died in their service, right?
Mm-hmm.
They won't know that they fasted.
So I'm just
wondering what the mentality was, that it was not so, I got the feeling by the conversation,
mm-hmm.
was that he was afraid of disappointing and not, I mean, he is a Kshatriya, I mean, not a Kshatriya, but I mean, so he is a king, he is royalty after all. So for somebody who's royal or a soldier even, not to be able to fulfill his duty, you know, as we said in the Bhagavad Gita, is worse than death. So I'm just wondering if that's also a part of it. He may have a fear, but...
That's also a part of it. And also he didn't really want to go and face even Sugriva with all his failure. He didn't even want to look up at Sugriva because he felt Sugriva would be extremely angry with him and he cannot face Sugriva's wrath. So that is also there. And also he didn't want to disappoint Sugriva. And there was a specific mission given to him and he felt that he had failed being the crown prince. So yes, you're right.
But, you know, his being afraid, that also I wasn't comfortable with. The fact that he was, you know, like we said, he is Kshatriya, you know? And the idea of a Kshatriya exhibiting that kind of fear, you know, I don't know. It just didn't seem like very Kshatriya-like to
again, he's not exactly a Kshatriya still. He's still a Vanara, right? Like, he's not exactly a trained Kshatriya. He's just trained to search or jump and employ certain powers. But again, not like a fully Kshatriya, trained Kshatriya.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but anyhow, all these are true. All the different emotions Angada is going through, like all the emotions that both of you had mentioned, yes. He was scared about many things.
It's kind of complicated, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasi Mataji. Thank you. Very, very nice nectar.
Thank you so much, Kaumodaki Mataji. It's so nice to have you on the call. Thank you for joining.
Yeah. My husband was using the phone, so then at the last moment, I picked it up, and you were just finishing the... saying about what we already had heard, reviewing. and then we started. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
It's the early part. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Very beautiful narration.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for joining us.
I had a question.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, so you were explaining about Sampati, and then you also revealed to the one of us that Sita Devi was surrounded by the demon women. So how did he find out that? So
yeah,
you had a keen eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he had this, he said he could see for more than 100 yojana distance clearly. He could see different things that were around, you know, very clearly, and he specifically he could focus and see.
Okay,
where
so without
Sita was.
Climb.
This is the power that he had. Yeah.
Okay. Without flying, right? Like
without what?
Without flying? Or
no, yeah, without flying, right? So sitting there.
Okay.
You're right, yeah.
Okay.
So thank you all so much again for joining. We'll end the call. Om Chakalpatare Vashya Kripa Sindhu Jayavasha Patitanam Pavanitu Vaishnavedyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavrandakki Jai Namachaya Shivari Rastakurki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Valmiki Ramayana Ki Jai Srimad Hanuman Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Sri Mataji Ki Jai.
Hare Bol Anantakoti Vaishnavrandakki Jai. Hare Krishna.